Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Hi, and a very good morning to you. This is Rabbi Michael Katz here with you. This is Judaism 101.9. It's great to be in your company. It is a beautiful Thursday morning here in Joburg, and it is just a few days left in the month of Sivan. We are headed towards the next month of Tammuz, which is going to begin in earnest next week. This is Shabbat Mevarachim. This is the Shabbos of blessing of this coming Shabbat, with the parsha that we're reading this Shabbos of Shelach, all about the spies going to check out Israel. And we all know what happened then, and it destined us to be quite a bit longer in the desert, to spend some more time becoming the people that we were meant to be in order to occupy Eretz Yisrael, in order to get to the land. So a lot going on, a lot to talk about, a lot to think about. And of course, the month of Tammuz is a time that is marked really in the calendar as a time of real change of the season to, in the Northern Hemisphere, real summertime. Tammuz, Av, and Elul are the summer months in Eretz Yisrael, and the month of Tammuz really in earnest gets us into that. But let's go back, as we always do, with a little bit of the history behind these days, and looking at today, which actually is the 26th day of Sivan. Today was the day on which, by some amazing miracle, the Jews of a place called Olika were saved from the Cossack mob, and this took place in 1649. Now, this was the period of time, as we have mentioned before, of the Chmelnicki or Chmelnitsky massacres that happened during this period of time. We mentioned clearly last week that the entire month of Sivan has like a pall of difficulty that is cast over it because of massacres like the Chmelnitsky, but there were several others that happened during this period of time against people in Europe, against whole villages and towns that were wiped out in these massacres. It was the original of pogroms that took place. And here a Cossack mob had gathered around the fortified town of Olika. And among the Jews who had found refuge inside that town was Rabbi David Halevi, who is otherwise known as the Taz. Yes, if you've done any study of the Shulchan Aruch, you will know that there are two major commentators, major authorities who speak within the Shulchan Aruch, and that is the Shach, Rabbi Shapsi HaKoyen Katz, and Rabbi David Halevi, the Taz. And he was a refugee from the nearby city of Ostro, and he had gone to Olika. And as the Cossacks prepared to breach the walls, the Jews gathered to daven in the shul. He was weak, he was tired, and Reb David drifted off into an uneasy sleep, a trance. And in his dream, he envisioned the verse, "I will protect the city to save it, for my sake and for the sake of my servant David," which is in Kings 2, 1934. This is what he dreamed of. This is what he invoked. "I will protect the city to save it for my sake and for the sake of my servant David." Remember, his name was David Halevi, the Taz. And indeed, there were old cannons that were atop the walls. They miraculously fired spontaneously towards the enemy, who then fled. And quite amazingly, then those Jews in the town of Olika were saved from that Cossack mob. When did that happen? 26th of Sivan in 1649. If we go over to tomorrow, the 27th, another tragic event that happened, Rabbi Hananya ben Tradion, in the second century before of the Common Era. It's not before the Common Era, but of the Common Era in the second century. Rabbi Hananya ben Tradion was one of the 10 martyrs that we read about on Yom Kippur in our Avodah, in the Musaf of Yom Kippur. We read about those 10 martyrs who were massacred, who were tortured and put to death by the Romans. Rabbi Hananya ben Tradion was one of them, and he was killed on this date, the 27th day of Sivan, in the second century, and the Romans had discovered him teaching Torah, which was outlawed. So what they did was, as we read about in Yom Kippur, they wrapped him in a Torah, they piled bundles of twigs around him, before setting him afire, they placed damp wooden cloths on him to prolong his agony of being burned to death. And as the flames engulfed him, his disciples asked him famously, "Master, what do you see?" Rabbi Hananiah replied, "I see a scroll burning, but the letters are flying up to Shamayim." The letters are flying up to heaven. An amazing story that actually took place 27th of Sivan, which is tomorrow. 28th of Sivan is a Chabad date of note, because it was in 1941 that the Rebbe arrived in the United States. Now, the Rebbe being our Rebbe, after escaping Nazi-occupied Paris and many perilous months in France, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson and his wife, Rebbe Tzimchaya Mushke, boarded the SS Serpa Pinto in Lisbon, in Portugal, and on Monday, the 23rd of June, which was the 28th of Sivan, at 10:30 a.m., they arrived in New York. Shortly after his arrival, the Rebbe's father-in-law, the then Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson, who had been whisked out of Warsaw in 1940, appointed him, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, our Rebbe, to head the social and educational outreach programs of Chabad Lubavitch. The Rebbe then began his decades-long revolutionary work revitalizing Jewish life in the Western Hemisphere, and this spread by means of his shluchim, of his emissaries, who he dispatched from his New York headquarters to literally every part of the world. Which is an interesting segue into the 29th of Sivan, which is going to be on Sunday here. Moshe dispatched 12 spies. He sent emissaries. They were spies, though, to tour the Holy Land in preparation for its conquest by the people of Israel. We got to remember that the spies then that we read about on this Shabbos were actually sent in history in 1312, before the Common Era. They were sent on Sunday, so it's very appropriate how it all lines up this year. And of course, a majority of them coming back with reports about the giants and how we appeared like grasshoppers and how we were going to be literally eaten alive if we crossed the border and we went into Eretz Yisrael. We've got to remember the beautiful take on it, the Hasidic take on it, is that the spies actually were very holy men and they wanted the Jewish people to stay a bit longer in the desert, to learn more Torah, because they felt that as soon as they crossed the border and they went into Eretz Yisrael, they realized that all the miracles of the desert ceased to be, and people that were worried would get involved in doing all the things that people need to do, farming and tilling and plowing and planting and growing and building and so on, and they would then be kept from Torah learning, and they therefore were skewed in their vision by wanting the Jews to stay a little bit longer in the desert. But of course, that wasn't what was meant to be. And we know, as they say, all the rest is history. Now, the first of Tammuz is the birth date and the passing of Joseph, in 1562 and 1452 before the Common Era. Joseph was born in Haran on the first of Tammuz in 2199 or 1562 before the Common Era. And he passed away on the same date, 110 years later exactly, in Egypt. At 6 years old, he and his family returned to Eretz Yisrael, eventually settling in Hebron. When he was 17, we know he was sold into slavery, and we know that he became then the viceroy of Egypt, passing away on his 110th birthday. The first of his brothers to die, he transmitted to them the divine province to Jacob and his children, that to be taken out of Egypt and restored to their homeland, and made them promise to take his remains with them when they would actually leave. And this was, of course, the last thing that Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moses did upon leaving from Mitzrayim to go on that journey to take us to Eretz Yisrael.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
We've been talking about things that have happened in the past over these days. And of course, we need to point out that on Tuesday and Wednesday of next week is Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. So that means that we are looking at Rosh Chodesh being Tuesday is Rosh Chodesh. My mistake. Tuesday alone. Rosh Chodesh. That is the day of Rosh Chodesh. Tammuz, because there are only 29 days in the... No, what am I doing? Sure. I've got my pages all mixed up here. I do apologize, looking at the wrong month. Yeah, back to where we should be. Tuesday and Wednesday, Monday and Tuesday, Rosh Chodesh. Monday, the 30th day of Sivan, Rosh Chodesh, Tammuz, day number one of Tammuz is on Tuesday, which is actually the 16th of June. It's quite convenient. It is a public holiday, of course, in this part of the world. And so the 1st of Tammuz being on Tuesday. And think about Rosh Chodesh. Now we come to a change of phase once again. Remember, we've always pointed out that each month carries its own character and has its own kind of spiritual environment that is created by that particular month. And Sivan is, of course, the month in which we receive the Torah, but the latter part of the month, of course, fraught with some difficulties over later years, as we mentioned, Chmelnytsky and pogroms and all sorts of sad and negative things. And perhaps Rosh Chodesh Tammuz gives us an inkling into how we actually look at this coming month of Tammuz, because, as we mentioned just before the break, it is the birth and the passing of Yosef HaTzadik, Joseph, the righteous Joseph, of course, of biblical fame, being born as he was to his father Jacob, his mother Rachel, special man with an incredible story, how his life had those phases of great sadness, but eventually leading to him becoming close to being the king, the ruler of not only Egypt but almost the entire world, coming up with the most incredible plans to save the world from decimation during terrible days of difficulty for the entire known world at the time, where everybody had to come because of the droughts and because of all the weather-related difficulties and no crops and so on. They had to come to Egypt, and eventually the entire world almost fell under the dominion of Pharaoh. And this was all the workings of this brilliant master strategist, Joseph, and then eventually bringing his family together, saving the Jewish people, and seeing to it that there should be a return. And then, of course, wanting, as we mentioned before the break, his bones, his body, his remains to be taken with the Jewish people when they would get out of there. So he predicted the end of the sojourn of the Jewish people in Egypt, and he predicted the fact that we would go back to Eretz Yisrael, and it was a casket with his bodies, with his bones and his remains, that led the Jewish people throughout their sojourn in the desert, accompanying the Ten Commandments, which were eventually placed together with the Torah scroll in an oren, in a box as well. And there were therefore those two boxes that led the Jewish people, one of them being the bones of Yosef. Now, when we think about that as the forerunner, or kind of the trailblazer of the month of Tammuz, Tammuz has also got within it so much of the kind of the ups and downs, the different levels of joy and sadness that are within this month. It is best known, if you say to the average Jew, month of Tammuz, probably the first thing that clicks in the brain is the fact that there is the 17th of Tammuz, a day of great difficulties and calamities and so on. But, of course, some really, truly great things that happened in the month of Tammuz as well. So perhaps if we just take a brief overview and a brief look at the month of Tammuz, and let's look at some interesting facts about this month of Tammuz, which comes in during the coming week. So Tammuz, of course, is the fourth month, if we count from the springtime month of Nisan, because there is Nisan, which is followed by Iyar, and then Sivan and Tammuz. So this is the fourth month. The month of Tammuz always has 29 days. The Hebrew months, with the exception of Cheshvan and Kislev, actually alternate in length. You go 29 and 30, 29 and 30. And so between Sivan and Av, which both have 30 days. The month of Tammuz always has 29. What does Tammuz actually mean? Rashi explains that Tammuz means heating, like a glowing furnace, because, as we mentioned before, it's an appropriate name for the month, which occurs at the height of summer in the Northern Hemisphere, roughly coinciding with July. We used to know here in Johannesburg in South Africa, the July school holidays and things were always chilly, and therefore people who wanted to take a break and get away would either have to go to Kruger Park or you would go to the south coast of Natal, where things were a lot warmer. But in the Northern Hemisphere, it's really hot in the month of Tammuz. And so it's that name of burning. It also shares a name with an idol mentioned in Yechezkel. The book of Yechezkel tells us that Hashem showed him the troubling vision of women in the Holy Temple sitting and making the Tammuz weep. Rashi explains that Tammuz was an idol, which could be heated from the inside. Its eyes, which were plugged with soft lead, would melt from the heat and appear to be weeping. When this happened, the people claimed that it was begging for an offering. It's also associated with Esav, with Esau. So we spoke about Yosef being born and passing away at the beginning of Tammuz, but it's associated with Esav, with Esau. The Zohar tells us that the first 3 months are associated with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Tammuz and Av, the fourth and fifth months, were taken by Jacob's evil twin brother, Esav. Esau, not surprisingly, both holy temples were destroyed during this time, one by the Romans, who were heirs of Esav, of Esau. The zodiac sign of this month is Cancer. Cancer is a crab which grows in water. And the Midrash links this to Moshe, who was hidden in the water by his mother, and it's for this reason that Hashem deferred the final destruction of the Beis HaMikdash until the following month of Av, when Moshe's protection was no longer dominant. We know that there were 5 tragic things that happened on the 17th of Tammuz, and we will speak about those perhaps in the next couple of weeks on our show. One was that Moshe broke the tablets when he saw the Jewish people worshipping the golden calf. That was on the 17th of Tammuz. It was during the Babylonian siege of Yerushalayim that the Jews were forced to cease offering daily sacrifices due to a lack of sheep. Apostamus, the wicked, burnt the Holy Torah. An idol was placed in the Holy Temple, and the walls of Yerushalayim were breached by the Romans in 69 of the Common Era after a lengthy siege. So many calamities happened on the 17th of Tammuz. It's a fast day declared by our sages as a day of fasting because of these terrible events. And it is referred to by the prophets as the fourth month fast. And it's one of the 4 fasts that will be converted, of course, into days of joy when Mashiach will come. May that happen speedily in our times. The final part of the month, of course, from the 17th of Tammuz until the end of the month of Tammuz and the beginning of the month of Av and into the month of Av are days of the 3 weeks of mourning, a time where our joy is tempered and we recall the tragedies of the past, anticipating, as we should, the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. But it also is a month within which there are some positive energies and positive times. We've got to think about that too, because Tammuz is not entirely without good and positive energy. Not the least of which is the third day of the month, the third of Tammuz, Gimel Tammuz. The third of Tammuz is the day on which in history Hashem miraculously stopped the sun in its tracks. Now remember, it was midsummer in that part of the world, but the sun stood still. And the sun stood still, allowing Yeshua and his armies to deal a decisive blow to their enemies. remembering well that in those days, fighting at night was not a possibility. And so the fact that the sun stood still, it allowed the victory to take place on that particular day. It also marks, of course, in much more modern history, the date in 1927, where the death sentence that had been issued by the Soviets for the 6th Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson, who we mentioned before, was lifted. And it was 10 days later, on the 12th and 13th of Tammuz, that his subsequent sentence to exile was cleared and he was released from prison. It also happens to be the day on which the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, passed away on Gimel Tammuz, the 3rd of Tammuz. And of course, around the world, and even here, of course, in Johannesburg, there is going to be a grand event taking place on Gimel Tammuz, which is Thursday night, the 18th of June, which is not this coming Thursday night, but the one thereafter, which will commemorate Gimel Tammuz, the day of passing of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Yahrzeit. And as we have seen there, and we think about Yosef, whose birth and passing took place on the same day, we mark birthdays and we mark Yahrzeits, and especially Yahrzeits of tzaddikim, of righteous people, not as days of sadness and of mourning, but remembering what those tzaddikim, those righteous people, stood for, what they taught, what they left with us, how their legacy and their inheritance of a spiritual nature continues through learning their Torah, learning their teachings, and so on, remembering that they accomplished and achieved so much that they left for us to complete and to carry on and to continue. And as was taught to us by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the great Rashbi, when it came to Lag BaOmer, the day of his passing, that he convinced his Talmidim, his students, that they should not be mournful, but rather dedicate themselves to the learning, to the Torah, to the teachings, and to the legacy of the particular tzaddik. And so too, when it comes to Gimel Tammuz, the 3rd of Tammuz, coming up fairly soon. Thursday is today, 1 week from today, Gimel Tammuz, the day of passing of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. We think of everything that he stood for. We try to encapsulate and bring into our own lives everything that the Rebbe taught us, if that is at all possible, and to make this world the better place that he envisaged, and prepare the world for the coming of Mashiach.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Hi, and welcome back. Yes, this is Judaism 101.9. This is Rabbi Michael Katz. Great to be together with you. And let's remember that Discam Wellness Clinics for Adults offers convenient and professional care to help you manage health risks. Whether you're having your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Discam Wellness Clinics offers you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening, pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. It's fast, it's affordable, and it's done with care. You can find your nearest Discam Wellness Clinics inside Discam pharmacies, because better health starts here. Over the last couple of sessions, we actually were looking back into our Siddur, looking at some of our prayers. So perhaps a little episode within an episode here, we can talk a little bit about the tefillot. There is a tefillah, there is a prayer that we say every day, three times a day, called the Amidah. And in that Amidah, as we have mentioned before, we are davening, we're doing what our fathers did, da'avin, doing what our fathers did, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We invoke their merits right in the beginning of every Amidah: Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Magen Abraham, Mechaye Meitim, and Hakel HaKadosh, Hail HaKadosh, which we say at the beginning of every one of our Amidahs. And here we have, then we go into various tefillot, various parts of each prayer, and in the daily prayers of the weekdays, we have, as we know, 19 different brachot. There were originally 18. It was known as the Shemona Esrei. We'll talk about that when we get to the 19th one, which was added in Roman times. But there is one that I wanted to point out today, which is in the bracha that we say, Tka b'shofar gadol l'cheruteinu. We talk about blowing the great shofar for a signal to announce our freedom from exile. Raise a big flag. Give us a signal so that we should know to gather together from our exiles. Gather us together from the four corners of the earth. May arba kanfot ha'aretz, and bring us to our holy land of Israel. Blessed are you, Lord, who gathers those of his nation and children of Israel who are scattered around the world. We know this as the ingathering of the exiles, which is one of the signs of and one of the jobs of Biat Mashiach, of the coming of Mashiach. But where did it all come from? Well, our sages of old have told us that every one of these tefillot actually mimics something that the malachim, the angels, in Shamayim say or sing about on a regular basis. And they came together and they sang about the ingathering of the exiles, at the time that Joseph was bringing his brothers together, that there was the reunification of Yosef HaTzadik, of Joseph and his brothers. Now, we said that Rosh Chodesh Tammuz is Joseph's birthday and day of his passing, so kind of Joseph's month, Joseph's day coming up. And if we think about this bracha, the idea of the ingathering of the exile, there is nothing like those moments when brothers come together. There is nothing like those moments of that unity. There are people who tell me, and certainly I'm sure there are some of you out there, who cry every time, tears of emotion and joy, every time we read that amazing story of Joseph seeing his brothers, of the brothers coming. Yes, he toys with them, and he wants to see their commitment to Binyamin. He wants them to feel exactly what they had done wrong. But eventually he says to them, no, this was not you. This was actually God who sent me and did all of this. And there is the raw emotion of brothers meeting again. And this is one of the signs of the coming of Mashiach, the ingathering of the exiles. And we daven for it. We pray for it. We ask God to see to that every single day of our lives, in our tefillot, in our prayers, this idea of the unity, of the coming together. Yeah, we all know what it feels like, I guess, when you're reunited at a simcha, at a special event, together with brothers, with sisters, with cousins, with family, with mishpacha, with friends. This idea of achdut, of unity, of coming together. But it's not just a raw emotional event that we're talking about. It's not just because it feels so good to be back together again. But perhaps it is coming here in the midst of our tefillot, of our prayers, to re-establish and relaunch into our, and put place at uppermost in our minds, that our greatest strength is our unity. When we are together, when we are in that spiritual and physical embrace of love and of care and of kindness and of togetherness, we then become that united front that is impregnable, that is completely indestructible, where we have each other's backs, where we think about and we're concerned about each other much more than we are even about ourselves. This is the achdut, the unity that comes as that clarion call. Perhaps that is itself the sounding of the shofar, although we know that the sounding of the shofar is a symbol, a sign. We read about it on this past Shabbat in the Parsha, about the trumpets, the sounds, the shofar that was blown when we went out to war. But it was a sign here of not only the unity, but of Biat Mashiach, the coming of Mashiach. May that happily happen speedily in our time. May it bring about, and may we bring about, the unity, the achdut that we pray for on a regular basis, with the idea of coming together. Makabetz nidchei amo Yisrael, bringing those who are scattered together. Be back with you right after this.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
You know, one of the things that happens just before Rosh Chodesh in some calendars is it mentions something called Yom Kippur Katan. It's usually Erev Rosh Chodesh. Sometimes it's deferred. It's brought a little earlier if Shabbat happens to be there, or there is a day on which one cannot do the practices of Yom Kippur Katan. And while this is something that has kind of fallen away by a large token in many, many sectors of the Jewish community around the world, it is nonetheless a little Yom Kippur. We think, as we come towards the end of a month, about the teshuvah that we should be doing, about the repentance, about the absolution that we need to gain for things that we may have done or may not have done during the past month. But remembering that we have a brand new lease on life, a brand new month that is coming up in the coming week. This is the cycle of Judaism, of Jewish thinking. It's never too late to make up. It's never too late to say you're sorry. It's never too late to fix. It's never too late to change your direction into the right direction. It's never too late to do the proverbial U-turn if we are headed for the abyss, if we're going off into the darkness, and to bring about a turnaround, tshuva, a real return in getting back to where we should be. And that is at the end of every month, a little Yom Kippur, a little opportunity to do all of that. And we're into that kind of time in the next few days, and certainly to face the coming Rosh Chodesh and the coming month of Tammuz. And may it be a month that, instead of it being known for its darkness and its sadness and its negative ideas and of the heralding and the bringing in of those 3 weeks of mourning, may it be a time, please God, of geula, of redemption. May it not be a time, God forbid, of death and of sadness, but rather a time of joy, of rebirth, and a rejuvenation of each and every one of us. So we look forward to a beautiful Shabbat up ahead, a Shabbat Mevarachim. I want to wish you a great rest of the week, a great Shabbos up ahead, and a great Rosh Chodesh, and a great Chodesh, a Chodesh Tov, for the coming new month of Tammuz. Be back with you again next week, please God, in another exciting episode of Judaism 101.9.